we're all back, and so we'll get started again. The next thing on the agenda is a report from the executive director.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start with clients' statistics from October 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2018. For all the individuals who are blind, we have 181 clients at the beginning of the year. Since then, 197 applied for services, and 187 were accepted for services, making a total of 368 clients. Of these, 234 were closed successful, 115 remain in active status at the end of this period. Total number of OIB applicants and clients in all statuses under OIB was 378. For independent living under 55 years of age, we have a total of 30 clients at the beginning of the period. Three were closed successful, one was closed unsuccessful due to other reasons, and 26 remain in active status. For vocational rehabilitation services, 389 clients were active in the beginning of the year, plus 107 applicants who were accepted, totaling 496 clients at the end of this period, actually. Of these, 32 clients were closed successful with integrated jobs. 104 clients were closed unsuccessful after an IPE was developed for the following reasons. 26 were no longer interested on services. 2 did not require VR services. 1 entered foster care. 1 no disabled condition. 10 for medical or health reasons. 1 was institutionalized, not jail or prison. 28 were unable to be located. 5 dead. 9 were transferred to another agency, and 21 for any other reasons. 11 clients were closed before IPE was developed. So 360 remain in active status, and total number of VR clients served in all statuses were 526. We have clients get jobs in the following areas: assembler and fabricator, billing and posting clerk, photographer and photogrammetrist, cashiers, coin vending and amusement machine servicer and repairist, cook, dishwasher, food preparation and serving, healthcare workers, interior designer, Randolph Shepper operator, teacher assistant, court reporting, engineering, interviewer, stocker, farm equipment mechanic, and financial specialist. In the area of administration, I'm going to start with some of the stuff I did. In June, I met with Senators Vargas and Wishart from the Appropriations Committee to talk to them about the possibility of increasing our budget for OIB services. Their advice is that we should submit the proposal and make our case in front of the Appropriations Committee. They also mentioned that they were very impressed with the services we provide based on the testimonies from some clients and parents back in March. I also talked to the Lieutenant Governor and the Governor's Policy and Research Office, GPRO, to see the possibility to amend the MPE law to make it clear the priority for blind vendors. The staff from the GPRO assigned to our agency is looking at this issue, and we hope to hear from them soon. I also scheduled two more meetings with other two senators to talk about this issue and the other blind funds. Some of the events or meetings I attended were the WIOA partners, the ACB and NFB national conventions, and the Omaha Association of the Blind of annual banquet. Carol Jenkins, Kathy Stevens, and I also toured Outlook Nebraska and met with the executive director and Chairman Hanson, joining us over the phone to talk about collaborating in the future with Outlook Nebraska. I also attended the second annual Disability Pride Rally at the State Capitol, where Commissioner Bolger and Senators Blood and Crawford were speakers. Both of those senators support disability communities. The statewide assessment was completed by Gemini, and we are looking at the results, which will be forwarded to RSA. It's an 85-page long document. Will the commissioner like to see that assessment about our services?
Yes.
Okay, I will forward it. Because of our success expending PREA's funds, we were asked to do a presentation to rehab professionals at the national level in June in Texas. Carol Jenkins did the presentation. The leadership team continues to meet on a weekly basis, and more recently, we're working on the budget narrative. We also completed revising all the fourth chapter for our rules and the paperwork needed in order to make it official. We send the revised chapters to the governor's office, the secretary of state, and the senator from the unicameral. We should be ready for public hearing on September 13th. As you know, we have a vacancy when Bob Deaton left. We did not hire another deputy director. We are thinking on getting some kind of a planner person, but meanwhile we are contracting with Stacy Cervanta, who is helping us do some research and helping us do some writings. By the way, just for the record, Stacy Cervanta is the wife of Greg DeWall, and she has a master's in rehabilitation and work in policy writing for a U.S. senator as well as for the VR agency in California, just for the record. Under the human resources and training, Greg DeWall finishes center training and already started his supervisory duties at the center. Kerry DeFries, the MB manager, gave her letter of resignation effective July 31. We are already posting the jobs and should be interviewing candidates by the end of August. As Greg DeWall became now the supervisor, Carol Jenkins is now taking over more of the BEP or MBE supervisor duties for now. Bill Brown is retiring this coming Tuesday. We're going to miss him, but as you know, Kat Carroll has been hired, what, almost 3 months, Kat?
Yes.
And she knows what she's doing.
All right.
Yep. We will enter into a contract with Bill Santos to provide training to our counselors on building trust relationships with employers. He came around 18 years ago to help the agency on changing our agency culture to contact more employers, and it was very beneficial. On field services, in Lincoln, some clients ended a job class in July from which one client got an internship with Leadership Lincoln. The Lincoln District partnered with the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired to develop paid internships for three of the students who have multiple disabilities, and this took place in David City and Nebraska City. Besides wages, the program I'm talking about, several pre-AIDS clients got jobs in their own communities, and some of them were offered part-time jobs. The employment committee is now active again and is working on putting together an employment conference next year in Omaha with a projected date of March 12, 13, and 14. The Deafblind Proclamation was on June 4th, and some deafblind clients and commission staff attended this proclamation. We are also working with the Helen Keller National Center to develop a support service provider, SSP. Some states already have that, but Nebraska does not. SSP help deafblind individuals to be like the eyes and the ears so they can be independent and be integrated into the community. Nancy Fleur is heading this initiative. We also provided training to the Assistive Technology Partnership and the ICANN Connect. The ICANN Connect is a program for equipment for deafblind individuals. We will enter into a contract, an MOU with ATP so our staff can provide training to deafblind individuals on how to use the equipment provided by ICANN Connect. Our staff continue to get training, network, create partnerships and outreach with different entities by attending transitions programs, project search meetings, community leadership meetings, WIOA local board meetings, Win Ahead conference, Lions Clubs meetings, caregiver symposiums, public school meetings, and the Nebraska Workforce Conference in Lincoln. We also have a booth in the Lincoln Human Rights Conference and the Workforce Summit. Commission staff also attended some training on 511, the one Karen presented today, mental health training, social security training on it's PASS, which is Plan to Achieve Self-Support, webinars on business engagement and customized employment. The Commission State VR conference calls on various topics, career planning and work-based, and some consumer conventions. In transition, Wages have 12 students who completed the program. Eight of them were first-time attendees, and the Lincoln Children Museum and Madonna Landscaping Department provided new opportunities for our Wages students. The NSB Career Mentoring Program also began this quarter. We have 10 mentees and 8 mentors signing. The goal is to have 15 mentors and mentees. This last week, Project Independence took place. We had 12 youth, and I think maybe Becky can give a better report on PI, but in general, we have students between 8 to 13 years of age. The theme was superhero in training. This helped us to shape the thought process for the students about their blindness and why it is important to learn and use alternative techniques. At PI, we again have several fun and challenging activities which help the students practice their skills. At the center, we have 7 students on training now. 3 of the students need one-on-one teaching due to the severe multiple disabilities. We have 1 staff trainee who was the center supervisor, and 3 wages staff trainees. We have 1 3-day stay. 1 student had a mini meal. 4 students had a commencement meal. During the center, we have 1 consumer from Kansas, 4 clients from Nebraska, somebody from the Japan network, a social worker, and somebody from the Channel 3 local news. I think it's a local channel from Omaha. Mm-hmm.
Why were they here?
Pardon me?
Why were they there?
One is they wanted to know more about our services. We were not on TV, but we are working on doing a public service announcement with them. So they are going to do that for free, but then we are going to enter in a contract with them to do some announcements in the computers, I believe. The way it works is if you are in your computer and you do search about services for the blind in Nebraska, a video clip for our services will be there. Mm-hmm. So they came to tour the center, they look at some of our videos, they are working with Carol, and they are going to be giving us some samples in the next few months.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they were doing a story of some kind or something, so they were there doing research and learning more about the organization
and
advertising.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. The students at the center requested to do activities zip lining, fishing, geocaching, and human foosball. The Friends of the Commission sponsored this activity, so I want to thank Robert Newman, who is the chair of the Friends.
And we helped with those t-shirts those kids were wearing, too.
That's right.
That's right.
In June, the students of the center attended a baseball game. And in July, students went canoeing at Holmes Lake, a free activity through Lincoln Parks and Recreations. In July 30th, the students volunteered at Salvation Army. And this activity included packing backpacks full of school supplies for those in need. The center students can now use the Nebraska network account, and that allows them to log into any computer at the student lab, the student lunch, or one of the staff members. This has been a goal of the communication instructor for almost 2 years, and with the assistance of our new technology manager, we were able to accomplish it. Wages students and wages staff also came to the center. They cook and ate with our folks there and also participated on a project at the shop. We continue to have a staff member from the Department of Labor providing training once per month on how to find jobs, writing a 5-year plan, and be ready for the first interview. Nebraska Business Enterprise. As you know, I signed the permit with the Veterans Administration for a new building in a clinic in Omaha, which will be built next year. This was after the commission filed for arbitration last year. However, we're still waiting for them to sign the permit and send us the document. So until they don't sign it, it's not totally official. The Department of Corrections decided to wait until November to put an RFP out so we can put a bid and hopefully start running most of their vending machines in May. One of the issues was they were going to give us the machines, and as we were working on the agreement and the contract, their lawyers got involved, and the language in the current law says that our prices have to be comparable with other bids submitted. So lawyers interpret that they need to put an RFP out so different groups can submit bids, and then they can compare the prices. So that's why it's delaying this part. We are still negotiating the language with the State Building Division to include all their buildings into one contract. However, our vendors started the process of running some of the vending machines the beginning of July. I want to add here some of the issues that we were having with the Business Enterprise Program. Sometimes it's quiet and it seems like everything is running okay, but then all of a sudden people retire, people leave, we get new places, and all at once. For instance, there is a person living in North Platte, well, we need to get a person there right away. Somebody else left from Sydney, we had to get a new person there. Somebody announced they are living in Omaha, we need to get a new person there. The machines that we are going to be running at the state office building, because we wanted to save money, we got a deal with Pepsi so we could use their Coke machines. But the guys who were running that place, it's called Valley Vending, they told us that they couldn't move all their machines or snacks all at once. So for instance, we said that we will be there on Friday of last week, not this last Friday, but the previous one. Well, they moved out without telling us. And the folks at the state office building were upset because they didn't have anything to buy from. They didn't tell us, so Carol is now learning all of that. And well, it's not simple, but we are dealing with those issues in case you hear anything. That I can give you more details, or Carol could too if you have more questions. But that's my report. The last part is that we are getting a new building, a federal building in Grand Island, and we should be getting there. It's a small one, but it's another one. Any questions?
Yes. Carlos, I have one question, or we'll start with one question.
Please.
The mentoring program, I was honored to participate in the mentoring program that we did 10 years ago, and I am one of the 8 mentors signed up for this year's program. So I was excited. I got to meet my mentee for the first time last week. So I had a great conversation with him. But we had been meeting on monthly conference calls. I think we've had 3 now. We met once in July, we met once in June, and we met once in May. And those are kind of towards the end of the month. So like the end of May, the end of June, end of July. My understanding with the contract with the National Federation of the Blind for the mentoring program was that it was the beginning of the contract was in March. Is that right?
That was the intent, but we didn't do it until June, I think.
Okay, so but just only having the information that the contract had begun in March, but we're just a concern about how long the program was going to be supported for the participants, if it was actually going to be 12 months or if it was going to be shortened because of negotiations, administrative tasks, and other things that needed to occur before the program really got started, although the contract had already begun. If that process in front was going to shorten the length of the program, or if it was going to actually run for 12 months.
Yeah, it will run for 12 months for each group.
Okay.
From the time they start becoming an MNT.
Okay. I did, just to add to your report just a little bit, you'd spoken a little bit about wages.
Yes.
And while a few of the wages students that were mentored, or mentees, and the staff and yourself were down at the National Convention of the NFB, I got an opportunity to spend an evening with the wages students representing the board, and spoke to them for a little bit about the Board of Commissioners and what we do, and got a chance to talk, to ask them some questions about, you know, what they thought of the services that they were getting. You know, we talked about wages a little bit. We talked about winter fests, and they were a little shy to speak up, but we had a good evening. So I guess more of a comment than a question for
thanks,
you.
Thanks for doing that. They do get very excited, even though they don't talk like you said, because they get shy.
Yeah.
They like the fact that people like you or myself come there to talk to them. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And I was sorry I wasn't able to actually physically go up to Outlook, Nebraska with you guys, enjoyed the conference call and hearing more about what Outlook Nebraska had planned or has planned for the coming year or the coming years. It'll be interesting to see how that continues to develop.
So when do we get the rest of us get to hear about that and what NCBVI's part may be?
Think there's no plan at this point really of exactly how a partnership would exist. It was there was an opportunity to see a tour of the updated facility.
Yeah.
And while we were there, or while Kathy and Carol and Carlos were physically there and I was on the phone, Eric, the president, kind of gave a rundown or an update for us on what their current plans are and how they're expanding the services that they're providing, a little bit about how financially they operate, and I think kind of the big announcement that they had was that they were opening a call center in Omaha. So it sounded similar to what, and I apologize, I'm trying to remember, was Apogee when up in Columbus, was that more outbound or inbound? Does anybody know?
Outbound.
It was outbound?
Or it was inbound. I'm not
okay.
Sure which one.
The, this one with Outlook Nebraska, I believe it sounded like it was going to be inbound call center. I want to say it was more of an answering service than it was a sales service. So it would be like, you know, answering for maybe a doctor's office or something like that. So more of an answering service than taking catalog orders or something like that.
So then what kind of plans do they have for developing rehabilitation services there in Omaha or across the state?
So they had talked about having staff available on a limited basis for doing some assistance with technology. They where it wouldn't necessarily be training like what our services provide, it would be more of a specific topic. You know, I need help with doing this, using this feature in Microsoft Outlook, or, you know, and being able to do that, you know, while using JAWS. So it was more very, you know, specific questions and not, I need to learn how to use the internet, or I need to learn how to use Windows. That would be too broad of a training topic for them, is what their current plan was. So they're going to start to staff or have a staff member available to field those types of questions.
Okay. Did they even ask us to think about help joining in? Did they have a specific thing they maybe wanted us to do with them at some point? Did they share anything like that?
Carlos?
Not really.
Yeah.
What they say is if there's anything that we might need, one of the comments he made to me was that if we want to expand our older blind services and come to the legislators to ask for more funds, they might, he's not offering, but they might come up with some money to show that we can work together. Just to show to the legislators that the state can work together with the private sector, and in that way we can get more money from the state.
Yeah.
So, if there was, and I don't think this isn't really your question or what you're asking, but I know a question that I had early on was there going to be overlap of services being offered, things that they were going to start to try to do that we're performing today.
Uh-huh.
Similar to, you know, not exactly the same, but, you know, the same, you know, there are states in the country where they have public training centers that are run by the services for the visually impaired in that state, and they have privately owned training centers. And so there's an overlap of services there. And I didn't know if we were starting to get into a situation where that was going to begin to exist here. And at least it didn't, at this point in time, didn't seem like that was the case. They were trying to augment things that, you know, areas where we might not be, where we might, we don't have a mission in that area today, like the single question IT support. I mean, certainly our staff a lot of times will take a question from somebody, but they'll provide it as an ongoing service.
Sure.
Certainly another job employment opportunity in the Omaha area. Another thing that they were looking at doing with the call center, and that sounded like that was imminent in opening.
Right.
It's in the final planning stages now. So they physically had the space. It was getting the contracts, getting the equipment in place.
Okay, okay.
Any other questions for me?
So how are referrals nowadays? I know they can fluctuate, but it's kind of up to, I don't know, are they up to kind of like normal numbers as the last 10 years, if you were to look at it?
It normally went down, and that's the trend at the national level too. but we are getting more referral with folks with multiple disabilities. So the numbers all over the nation are looking less, but more work, I guess, if that's how I can put it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion on like what the reason is that the VR numbers, people wanting to go to work, you know, are kind of down?
Not really. No, some people just say that medicine and technology is improving and looks like folks don't get rehabilitation, they get surgeries. Yeah. But there is no exact answer or scientific answer, professional answers. Theories, yeah.
Okay. Nobody's blaming like Facebook or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, just social media, like people just don't want to join organizations, blah, blah, blah. Yes. So they've got an organization on the computer, on their phones,
yeah,
essentially. Okay.
Well, Chad or Becky, do you have any other questions?
No, sounds good.
All right, well,